We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty. How's everybody doing out there? We're getting there. We're getting to the Super Bowl.
Beautiful day out here.
And one of the things, don't get too high or too low in the days and weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. You got to reserve that emotion. Trying to reach Angelo Cataldi, a longtime Philadelphia radio voice who's very familiar with Andy Reid. Also going to ask him about Gabe Kapler if we can get a hold of him.
Yeah.
Just know out there that if Angelo stiffs us, this was a book... allegedly booked by our boss, not our normal producer.
The one that didn't send us to Miami.
That's crazy.
I had to cancel my haircut appointment I had today.
Why?
Because that was going to be the haircut for Miami.
Wow.
You guys are you guys really disappointed?
It's real. There's a suitcase in my house that I had to take some things down by today.
In case you don't know, the morning show, going to Miami. We're not.
We're an extension of that show. They hand the baton to us.
We're more than an extension.
Okay. Well,
of
you
that
know,
show. They're our pregame show.
Right. They warm it up for us.
So
they lead into
that's
us.
What I was trying to say.
And then we carry the torch and reach heights that nobody else could ever reach.
How about this? 888-957-9570. What's your disappointment level that we're not going to Miami?
Right.
Mine's at a 2.
Dude, did you check the
Instagram?
Twitter, Instagram?
Dude, Instagram.
The people wanted us there.
They said BSG should have been going.
I
got tagged, and you know what? But, I was petty, and I liked every single one of them.
Yeah.
But we are
the same
but
person.
We're
going to
be out and about in the Bay. Wednesday. We're going to be at the Cheesesteak Shop on Divisadero.
All right.
Thursday, we're going to be at Bartlett Hall, a brewery in, where's that brewery, Pappas? I don't have the address. Bartlett Hall.
Bartlett Hall, O'Farrell Street.
O'Farrell. And then, of course, the Keysar Pub on Stanion.
I'm ready.
Shout out their head brewer, Nick Mamir. He makes awesome beer. If you guys are free, come drink it and come say what's up. It's going to be popping.
Awesome. Awesome. And so that's 10 to 2. Anytime.
Sounds like Miami.
All our friends want to come. I want all our friends there. I want Jonathan. I want Dame. I want Robin.
Who was here today.
I want Thalia. I want Elise.
Yeah.
I want Big Game James. I want City Boy.
And our guy.
Danker.
Yeah, don't forget Rob.
Jesse.
From San Bruno.
Rob. I want them all. I want you all out there.
Somebody from the 408, fellas.
Devin San Mateo, absolutely.
The morning show is there.
J-Dub, I think, was the one guy.
And we're here. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I like that one.
anyway, pretty good with names.
So next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come out and do the show with us. How about that? Just do the show.
Yeah.
We'll have fun.
I'm going to still get a cut.
Trey's in Vallejo. Hey, Trey, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Oh, man, top of the morning to you guys, man.
Yeah, same to you, buddy.
What's up? Oh, man, you know, just trying to get it going. Daryl, Bronte, what's good with you guys, too, man?
What's up, baby?
What's up, baby?
Man, you know, just chilling. I just want to get at something real quick. Daryl, I just sent you a Facebook request, so you better respond to that real quick and accept me because we have a lot of same mutual friends.
Oh, okay. Where are you from?
Yeah. But check it out. I want to get to the... to the thing we were talking about where old boy said, like, you know, trying to hurt Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to say this. It's a Super Bowl on the line. I'm going to say this. Because I called on Damon Bruce because Damon Bruce was talking about this too yesterday, and I got misquoted by him by one of his people.
Uh-oh.
When I mean, like, when you hurt him, I don't mean do something outside of the rules to hurt him. And I'm not saying, like, if you have a clear shot at his knee, take it at him. But there is certain things that you can do to him within the game. Now, it's not dirty, but it's doing things like if you tackle him, put your pressure like when you're getting up, put your hand on his ankle, like put pressure on that ankle. Put your hand up to balance yourself to get up, or put it on his shoulder, drop your weight, or little things like that to make Patrick Mahomes know, hey, if you're gonna run, this is gonna be the things. You put pressure on his body, and hey, that takes hitting. You got to remember, this is a Super Bowl. You may not get there ever again, so you got to do what you got to do. And I'm not saying take cheap shots at him, but within the game, there's certain things that you can do to put pain on his body. And I take your thoughts off air, and you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Trey. No, I don't think you said anything that I disagree with.
He's right. Pop his ass. He runs out of the pocket, make him pay for it.
Yeah, but isn't that a give and be? You bring the pain.
Absolutely. You bring the pain. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But nobody's trying to injure anybody on purpose.
I try to fix misinformation. 408, Steiny, come on. You know you have listeners all over the Bay, and you're getting our hopes up when you say the Bay, but you really just mean San Francisco. Oh. Would be much less confusing if you'd stop saying the Bay. Because us in the South Bay are getting left out. Now, hold on a second.
Yeah, that hit me in the car.
We did a draft show from, I think it was the 4th Street Brewery down in San Jose last two NBA drafts ago. We had a big NFC AFC championship party.
Oh, Hooters at Campbell.
The Hooters there.
Hooters at Campbell.
And then what's the sports bar, the one...
The Casino Royale.
Casino Matrix. We did something there, but that's not even the one I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking about Plague.
No, I'm thinking about players. It's a one word, like characters. You know what? It's the one town he goes to. Rookies.
Oh, Rookies.
Rookies. We've been to Rookies.
I'm a vet.
Come on. We do it. We do it. We get all over the Bay.
That was heartfelt, the way he wrote it.
I know.
Or she.
It did. Yeah, it did.
You did well, but yeah, we've been out there.
Yeah. Well, all right. By the way, which one of you guys is going to tell the boss? Which one of you guys can tell the boss?
Vontae's the direct guy of the show.
Bye-bye.
He likes that
bye-bye.
Smoke.
I like to smoke now. I just do me.
I want some smoke.
How about this?
He just flaked on us. This is why.
Wow,
you know what?
That was exciting.
And you know what? You know what, Steiny? Because these Philadelphia people, these people out there, Philly fans, radio hosts, they think they're the toughest thing out there. Yeah. They think they invented sports.
You're going to tell this to Cataldi when he calls in 20 minutes later?
Absolutely.
What took so long, Cataldi?
Cataldi, why are you ripping Eddie Reed?
Come on.
Where are you, up in space?
I mean, these people in Philadelphia, I get sick of them. I'm seriously.
And then we promote like he's coming and he's not here.
And he flakes. And he not works at radio. And he works at radio. How would Angelo Cataldi feel if Matt Stivins had an 8 a.m. appointment on the show and he flaked on
him? Some could have
How would he feel about it?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Cataldi's a big boy. Yeah. He can flake. I can't flake.
And Cataldi can get right back in line. He could come on. They're right on the table. He could call right now. Hey, how you doing?
He might.
Yeah. Or 2 hours from now. Hey, how you doing?
What's your did you guys give a disappointment level for not going to Miami? They're making fun of me because mine is a 2.
Yours really is a 12.
They're saying I'm old.
Oh, mine?
I'm
at a 9.5.
Hey, 9.5?
Yeah, I get a little nervous. I went public with it, but forget it.
I'm
at a 50. When I saw the guest list.
That's so funny.
When I saw the itinerary or who was going and what was happening. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Just the Hegan since Angelo Cataldi didn't call us, our boss, better for sure have Butcher Boy and I here at the studio watching the Super Bowl, okay? That's all I'll say, and I'll stop.
I've been telling people out there I'm watching with you.
I would rather honestly go do these shows in the Bay. But that doesn't
mean that.
I've been to Miami.
Oh, see.
15 times.
I haven't.
I like it. It's awesome. It's incredible. I just,
I want to get there when my hair ain't gray. You know what I'm saying? That's around the corner, man. You know what I'm saying, Vontae? One last run.
888-957-9570. Confidence level. What's your confidence level right now? And it's obvious the Kansas City Chiefs fans' confidence level is high. But I'm talking about 49er fans. How about this one? Garoppolo got hurt the last time he played in Kansas City. And here's what he had to say about what happened after.
I didn't even know Pat at the time. For him to come out of his way after the game and wish me luck and everything, just a real class act. I mean, the guy's awesome on the field, off the field. He's he does it all.
You guys stayed in touch at all?
Not really since then, no. But just for him to do something as simple as that, it went a long way.
Mahomes.
Wow.
Steph Curry.
Yep. Class act, Monte. I ain't shocked. But, man, no, but I hadn't heard that, but that's what it's about right there. That's what you call sportsmanship.
One of the things we talked about is whether Garoppolo's stint as a backup to Tom Brady is helpful. Here's how Garoppolo answered that question.
I think just how calm he was, how, you know, and everyone says that you got treated like another game, but just the way that he actually did it, I mean, I was right, you know, up close and personal, just getting all the, picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything, and obviously it worked out the two times that I was there with him, and so try to transfer that over to my game.
Okay. He certainly has picked up Tom Brady's disposition.
Wow.
I don't think there's... I wonder when he was coming out of college if he was that way. Now, I'm sure he wasn't as composed as he is now, but I wonder if that's something he had to work on or it was kind of part of him already that he seems like he's always been like this.
Right.
I mean, I have to go back and look at film. But
you hear his friends or people close to him talk about this guy has not changed one iota.
Yeah.
But in regard to that, Steiny, I think where he got drafted at probably humbled him, or he was one of those guys just happy to get drafted and he would prove himself. And now here you are, what is it, 9 days away from the biggest game of your life.
David Lombardi from The Athletic wrote a great piece. He he talked to Garoppolo's high school teammates, high school coaches, and some of his college coaches.
Right.
And they laid it all out. Like, this guy is just a gamer.
Man.
He's all about the team. He's never changed one bit. And he's the only guy, apparently, who brought his college roommates to the NFL draft in a green room. And Goodell, Commissioner Roger Goodell, basically was like, I've never seen this before. These are all your brothers? And they're black, white, and they're like, wait, you're all Garoppolo's?
Wink,
and that just shows you what type of guy he is, man. He's humble.
How can you hate on him, man?
It's hard to.
He's good looking, but people hate on you. Ugly people hate on you for that.
John in Baltimore. John's in Baltimore. What is up, John Baltimore?
Who the hell is John?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
How are you?
Hey.
Good, I'm good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know my confidence level's up around a 9 as well.
Yeah.
And I was nowhere near that confident in the last Super Bowl against Baltimore. I was scared in that one. But this one, I think it's a breeze, you know, and this is what I'm saying. Is throw the defenses out of there. Okay, let's take the defenses out of the equation. Our offense scored more points per game than theirs did. We got a better offense. And then you put the defenses in there, and it's not even a competition. And, all these Kansas City fans calling in that are super confident, telling them to come out here to be more, I'll open up an old-fashioned can for them. You know, they want to talk some smack. 49ers are going to take it to them.
Thanks,
John. That's all I got, guys.
Sweet. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
What confidence.
Did you ever get in a fight over a sporting event?
No.
No.
Did you ever get in a fight just talking smack with somebody about a game?
Nope.
Well, two things. I almost got in a fight in Madden, playing Madden before when I was a kid. I almost got into a fight at the Warriors World Tournament because Guru decided to clothesline somebody and hack them.
Is this true?
It's on tape.
I mean, it's the hardest foul
this
I've ever seen in my life.
Are you serious?
I was ready.
It was the hardest foul I've ever seen
and
in my life.
I thought Bonte.
The crowd shook.
I actually don't know if you guys are kidding or not.
No, I'm not kidding.
The truth.
Ask Matt Kolsky.
Okay, so
Phil Handy told you I was Lambeer. Remember that. He told you on air I was Lambeer.
So Guru fouls somebody hard.
He gets beat off the dribble. Guys go in for a layup.
Goes
and Guru
saying.
Just, I mean.
Now, I don't remember that part, the dribble.
Yeah, he beat you off the dribble.
He went.
You got beat off the dribble a few times in that tournament.
No, stop.
And you went back and. Yeah, there was. He ha-ha'd you.
He beat me. How'd
you
tell him?
Because you recovered.
What happened in the aftermath?
Nothing.
So you foul a guy hard. Did he go to the ground?
He goes to the ground hard.
Goes to the ground hard. Did he stay down?
No, he got up in like.
He got up.
No, split second. No, he got up in a split second like. He was about to get up and do something.
Like Nick Bosa?
I want some smoke.
Like a cat?
He did some math. That's what he did. Because he could have got up and then it would have been something. Because that was way past. And I wasn't doing it to be a jerk, but I had to send a message. And I felt like my boy had my back and I was ready to go.
You had to send a message in a 3-on-3 game?
But it was one of those.
We're getting beat 5-1 or something like that. And he hacks the hell out of him.
I did it. I didn't even help him up. I knew. Nothing. I knew he knew the math. You know when you're dealing with something because you wouldn't have got fouled like
did
that.
Did he do anything?
No.
Or were they just beating you?
And then when we got back, he said, good foul, OG.
See, I just thought that's the first time I heard that. I don't believe that either.
That's because it's made up.
Yeah, because
I would never call myself
Stidey.
Hey.
Stidey, he got up, and everybody it was like everybody was frozen.
Boots,
no,
not me.
No, Koski and I looked at each other and was like, great. We're going to get our ass kicked because Guru can't stand in front of his man and he hacked this guy.
What if you win and do something to deliver?
What if we do win?
I've seen
a guy, he had no body fat on. Like, you hacked a dude who looked like he came straight out of San Bruno County Jail. I'm serious.
You know I think they're soft.
Stiney, I'm strong. And he went down. I wasn't trying to be dirty.
Stiney, it's the hardest foul I've ever seen in person.
This is basketball.
NBA pickup.
Oh, wow. Man.
High school, I swear to you, Stiney. I'm not joking, man.
But the highlights.
Because you were losing?
No.
That's not right.
I just told you,
I'm different.
It wasn't a dirty play. That's all I'm saying. It was a hard foul, and that's how I play. Get on that block. We're in the paint. I had to send a message, and he whispered when it was all said and done. They were about to inbound the ball. Good foul, OG.
Yeah,
and that's why nothing happened. It wasn't your ear.
I'd never heard about that one.
Listen,
on to the Niners.
You did that. That hurt me. Had I been somebody else, or he thought he'd get, you know, I didn't want the smoke, something would have went down with that foul. I want some smoke.
Brock's in Richmond. How you doing, Brock? How you doing?
How you doing, fellas? It's Brock, but that's okay.
Brock, you got to call back. We've got Angelo Cataldi on the line. He's late, and my partner wants to give him some grief.
Angelo.
Angelo's a morning show. It's a 94 WIP, a radio.com station. He's the voice of Philadelphia sports. Angelo, welcome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I'm so sorry I blew you guys off. I was sleeping. Morning thing. My schedules are not exactly the same here on the East Coast, but it's great to talk to you guys.
All right, let me start here. How big of an advantage is it that the Chiefs are being coached by a guy like Andy Reid and the 49ers are coming in with a guy with not much experience? Got to be a hell of an advantage for the Chiefs, right?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I could just tell you that 14 years of watching Andy Reid, he did have Patrick Mahomes when he was here. But Andy Reid is the kind of guy, when you get to the big game, you get the big choke. And I know for myself, I am praying that the Niners beat this guy because I hated him when he was here. Hated him like nobody I ever covered.
How come?
Well, I don't even know where to start. I'll start with the fact that he never gave a straight answer to a question. He was like a trained parrot the whole time that he was here. Whenever there was a lost game, I got to do a better job. I got to do a better job. What do you think of this? I got to do a better job. It's my responsibility. He would never give you a straight answer to any question whatsoever. So why would I want to respect the guy who didn't respect the fans enough to ever give an honest answer? Then you had Brian Dawkins, the greatest player that was on his team in the 14 years he was in Philadelphia. Brian Dawkins is allowed to leave over like $2 million. This is a guy who gave his heart and soul to the organization and to Andy Reid specifically. And Brian Dawkins was allowed to walk away for peanuts because Andy Reid didn't see the importance of a loyalty to a player this city loved. And what made it worse is he refused to discuss it. The next day, they signed some hack named Stacey Andrews, a lineman who basically was going to be Sean Andrews, a much better player. He was his brother, and he was going to babysit his brother because they're both kind of strange dudes. And there's a news conference, and everybody wants to ask him about Brian Dawkins. He's the most beloved player in Philadelphia history. We're not talking about Brian Dawkins today. It's Stacey Andrews Day. I could give you literally 50 of these kind of stories to explain to you why Andy Reid is the biggest fraud I ever dealt with and why I am as big a Niner fan as anybody you're going to find in San Francisco for the next week. I do not want him to ever win a Super Bowl. He doesn't deserve it. He's a phony.
Wow, Angelo, we appreciate you telling us how you feel. My guys here, we did battle over, is he a great coach or good coach? And without a ring and five losses in the NFC Championship game, I'm saying he's a good coach. Real quick, we know how you feel. What if he did get this win next Sunday? Does that solidify him as being that Hall of Fame offensive creator innovator as a head coach?
Look, he's obviously got talent as a coach. He sold his soul to get this one, in my estimation. Tyreek Hill. Everybody know his background?
Sure.
Everybody know what he did last year? Everybody knows what he did in 2015? Frank Clark. You guys know his story.
No doubt.
Frank Clark's got a horrible background. But Sean McCoy played here. Sean McCoy is a thug, all right? Sean McCoy, in my estimation, not a guy I would want on my team to begin with. Kareem Hunt last year. This is the other part of Andy Reid. Andy Reid is the kind of guy that'll tell you how he embraces second chances for all these guys who've got all these criminal issues, right? Now, he's just taking advantage of the fact. He's using that so that he can give this guy another opportunity and try to take advantage of the guy's talent. I'm telling you, there's one thing I know in 30 years of doing radio in Philadelphia, guys. This Andy Reid is not anywhere close to what you're looking at. Nothing close to it. It's a facade. It's a fraud. It's a charade. And, you know, I'm sorry, no matter what happens next Sunday, and no matter what happens the rest of his career, he'll never get a fan out of me. I watched him for 14 years here. Never.
Angelo, man. You know what? Look, I had a college roommate straight from Philadelphia, so I've been out there twice. I was out there the day you guys signed Nnamdi Asomugha and traded for Hunter Pence. Now, remember the Philadelphia Daily News or Ray Dinger? They're all writing these stories about the Dream Team and everything in Philly. You guys overreact out there so much. And I get the personal issues with Andy Reid, but the guy's 207-128. He took you guys to 4 AFC championships on the road with Todd Beekston and James Thrash as your wide receivers. Finally get to the Super Bowl. You play Belichick. I mean, you lost to the greatest show on turf. The guy brought you guys back on the mat. You wanted Rich Kotite again or Ray Rhodes coaching that organization?
All right, Belichick, let's talk about that. Did you remember that Super Bowl?
McNabb running out of gas?
They didn't know how to go to a hurry-up offense? At the Super Bowl? How many years Philadelphia waited for an opportunity to actually see Andy Reid's team in the Super Bowl? When they got there, he didn't know how to get them down the field without burning the whole clock. It was so bad, Belichick looked to one of his assistant coaches and said, "Is that score right? Are we actually up 10 points?" You don't remember that?
Oh, I remember that. But I remember McNabb.
What are you holding up for Reid? Based on what? He had one chance here to win the Super Bowl, and that's what he did in the key moment of that game. We're supposed to cheer for that.
T.O. comes on our station every single week and blames Donovan McNabb, your quarterback, the quarterback, for not getting you guys in a no-huddle. Isn't McNabb supposed to say, "Hey, let's get on the line, let's get on the line"? You shouldn't need a head coach to hold your hand and get you in a no-huddle.
Well, I don't know. They were together for 5 years. I would have thought by then Andy Reid would have shown them how to do it right. That's what I'm guessing. I'm no McNabb fan either, guys. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Andy Reid, if you're not going to blame the coach for not knowing how to get a team down the field in a basic two-minute offense, I don't know who you want to blame. And on the East Coast, we kind of blame the coach for that kind of stuff.
Speaking of coaches and managers, Giants hired Gabe Kapler a few months back. You obviously know about him. What can the Giants fans look forward to?
I wanted to tell you something. He was here 2 years, and I got to talk to him every Wednesday. You will never hear or see anything out of any coach or manager in your history like you will with Gabe Kapler. Nothing. They call it new age. This is new age times 10. This is another level of new age. And for us personally, I mean, he had the support of the people that ran the Phillies, but he did not have the support of the fans. In fact, there's even a kind of a parallel with him and Andy Reid. The parallel is that Gabe Kapler never really cared about being honest with the fans either. Gabe Kapler only did one thing. Everything he said and everything he did was calculated to endear him to the people in the locker room. and that goes just so far. In Philadelphia, we like to hear the truth when the question's asked. Gabe never cared about that either. He's a really good guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a hell of a lot better guy than Andy Reid will ever be. But, man, you guys are in. You're going to do some head scratching next year or two.
You know what, Angelo? We've had him on our show before, Ed. And we listened to his press conference, his introductory press conference, and it was about everything that happened in 2015. And you read all the stories, and I'm just thinking, how do you replace Bruce Bochy with a guy who failed in Philadelphia? I was out here, hey, went to the game when the Phillies came to the Giants, and he took out a lefty and put in another lefty. And it was like, Wait a minute, what's going on here? I think we're here for some long years. I don't get the hire, but we've heard some clips with you and Gabe Kapler. We definitely know Giants fans got their work cut out.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. But I'll just say this. It's all – he's a good guy. You're going to say, he's really a nice man. He's really – he means well. He has good intentions. You know, he's got a good heart. But he's just – he's so different. I don't know. Maybe there's something there, and we just never saw it. But I give him the respect, at least, that he – he answered every question we ever asked. He didn't always answer it honestly, but at least he came from a good place. He wasn't a phony and a fraud like Reid. Andy Reid is the biggest phony and fraud you will ever encounter. If you just got to see him for 14 years, you'd see what we saw in Philadelphia.
Angelo, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're a busy man. Really appreciate it. And have a good one, buddy.
Thank you.
I'm sorry it was late, folks. Thank you very much.
All right, Angelo Cataldi. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Bay Alarm. I can take more of your calls. We're going to dissect some of the things Angelo said, all sponsored by Bay Alarm. BayGuard Plus Bay Alarm is a video verification system designed for any commercial space, retail, restaurant, or construction site, inside or out. Get protected today. Bay Area, Bay Alarm, what have you got to lose?
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. You know what I think Papa should do? He's got to find a spot, maybe on the website, where he puts on, you know, what this bumper music
this is. This jazz.
We, every time we come back in, two or three people text in, what's this?
Who's I'm going to say from? Six or seven.
Actually, not this time. But
Bonte's tried to help me, actually. He tells me to tweet him out, but
yeah,
like,
I think that is
I only have like 10 followers, so I mean, it's not like anyone sees
that's
me.
How you get more, baby.
Hey, we retweet them.
Wow. Feels great,
we retweet them. Yeah. Come on now.
All right, I'll start doing it.
Okay, Angelo Cataldi. We just had him on as a Philadelphia sports talk show host. He talked about Andy Reid and then a little bit about Gabe Kapler. Okay, he basically said Andy Reid is a fraud. Now, I don't think he didn't mean it altogether as a coach, I don't think. Is there any coach, like, that's a pretty strong word.
He meant it as a man. And I guess if you guys were coaches and Tyreek Hill did allegedly what he did, Would you coach him or welcome him in like Andy Reid did? Because to me, Bonte, you got the Riley Cooper thing too. We can't forget that. I'm just like, wow, a fraud. That is strong.
Yeah, that's real strong. And you blame him for the Super Bowl for McNabb not going no huddle. Players got to play. Players got to hold themselves accountable. It's like McNabb's been playing football his whole life. You're down 10, go no huddle. I mean, how, like, Andy Reid, what else could he do? You know what I'm saying? I put that on McNabb and T.O. and company. When I hear from T.O., he's blaming McNabb. He was in that huddle.
Said he was hungover. So that just came out.
Oh, well, you know, there it is. But I don't – to say he's a fraud, yeah, sure, he makes questionable decisions when it comes to his players, guys like Tyreek Hill, guys like LeSean McCoy, guys like Kareem Hunt. But the guy wins football games. He's you know – let's talk about the personal tragedy Andy Reid went through.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, his son. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I would say this. Fraud's pretty.
Man, that's as strong as you get.
But
man. A fraud, but that means you're a fake.
Exactly. And is there any coach out there? Like, I don't know why I'm bringing this guy up, but you know what? You know who that reminds me of? Mark Jackson. Reminds me of Mark Jackson. Can't really get a straight answer. Just, you know, just above everybody.
But what coach gives you a straight answer? And, how many coaches don't give you a straight answer?
Supersede the performance of the team.
Bill Belichick. But look at Bill Belichick.
Okay. They couldn't win nothing, he's but he gave you a straight answer.
Belichick has earned it. Look, I think, like, I'm not saying nobody's going to give away secrets, but just look at the way Kyle Shanahan interacts with people. Look at the way, I don't know, Steve Kerr interacts. I mean, you got to treat people with a modicum of respect.
No doubt.
And I guess he really took offense to the fact that Andy Reid wouldn't answer the questions like he liked. By the way, The Athletic polled players at the Pro Bowl, and they asked some of the players which coach you'd most like to play for. Out of 12 people, 4 said Andy Reid, 4 said Pete Carroll, 2 said John Harbaugh, and 2 said Kyle Shanahan. Is there any coach you would you take over Kyle Shanahan?
Cool. Nope, not right now. And I'm going hoodie included.
Really?
Yeah, I think the hoodies thing is, it's not coming to an end, but everything that he's exhausted and done and overcome, now he doesn't have the weaponry, Bonte, and we're starting to see Brady look different. We're starting to see them not in the Super Bowl, and I think your guy here, the 2 liter of winning juice, is full, and he's just twisting the cap off and will take his first sip next Sunday, Kyle Shanahan, of that winning juice, and it's going to stay full for a while. That's just my outlook.
But your confidence level's still at an 8. I mean, your worry meter's at an 8 still.
No, I said my
– Or is that confidence?
Confidence is 8. My worry meter's at a 2.
Oh, my.
And I did – real quick.
That's unusual for you.
Because we're factual on this show. Riley Cooper was under Chip Kelly. So I said Andy Reid.
I'm glad you corrected yourself.
Thank you, 650 right. for the text. I love that you like my sense of humor.
Right.
Mark Jackson was fighting for his life.
I mean, you're talking about Belichick not hitting the Super Bowl. He just won the Super Bowl last season. If it's the playoffs, all right. John Harbaugh's a coach I'd like to play for. He's up there.
Hypothetical.
Belichick's up there.
That's a guy I wouldn't want to play for right there.
Belichick?
No, Jim.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh. Oh,
I just hate how – I want Jim to – another story. Come back, Jim, to the NFL.
Mike Tomlin I'd play for. I play for, even though I called him overrated for many, many years.
And I blamed him for the breakup and AB and all that
stuff. You got to give him his credit.
Oh, and also, real quick, The Athletic, of these players polled, they voted Kyle Juszczyk the most underrated player.
I agree with that.
Let's go to Brock. Brock's in Richmond, and he was nice enough to hang on the line. Thanks, Brock. Appreciate it, buddy.
No problem, brother. It's Buck, but I just flew out here from Texas.
All right, Buck.
And I'd like to just a real small thing on the Philly fans. My coworker at work is a Philly fan. And Philadelphia people, sports fans in general, they're the kind of people that'll go to a funeral, and when it's time to speak, they'll be the type of guy that'll speak bad about them. They are tough people, man. But no problem being on hold, because I know the gentleman that was on the air, Angelo, and he's a fellow Sicilian, so I have no problem holding.
Nice.
You guys put up. Real quick, I'm not as confident as most 49er fans. I'm trying to take my emotions out of it. They do have 3 outstanding receivers. Not so much say outstanding, but 3 receivers with sprinter speed.
Yeah.
The 49ers definitely have a huge advantage in the defensive line, especially if they can pressure Mahomes with a 4-man rush. I think that's key. And I also think, as much as I like Jimmy G, you have to say there's a huge advantage with Mahomes over Jimmy G. How do you guys feel about that?
Thanks a lot for the call, Buck. Appreciate it. I don't know. No, it was Buck.
Buck.
Yeah, he called in and said,
how do you feel about it, Goo?
I mean, I'm torn. How about that? I'm torn. But right now, it's Mahomes. And, you know, no slight to anybody that's not up there, but it's Patrick right now. And it's Patrick so much to where they're favored. Because this Mahomes mania is a thing. I thought Lamar Jackson mania was a thing. This Mahomes mania is a thing.
He won the MVP last year, lit the league on fire, was an overtime possession away and an offsides call away from going to the Super Bowl to take on the Rams, was dynamic. You see him this year, he gets hurt, comes back. He's dynamic again. Mahomes is the truth. He is the truth, but he's not playing against Jimmy Garoppolo. He's playing against Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, you know, DeForest Buckner, D Ford, his former teammate, Uncle Sherm, Tart, Warner, Quan. I mean, Dre Greenlaw. So we'll see. He's played against his defense. They haven't seen a defense like this in quite some time.
And Honey Badger, just real quick, I know he's good, but he can be had in the passing game, Bonte. And when he was in Arizona, you could catch him. This is going to be I can't wait. Seriously, where are we watching it at, Steiny?
I'm working on it. I'm getting by the way, it is a Football Friday brought to you by Xfinity.
Xfinity. Simon, you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I would like to know where you would like to watch the game. At a residence, at a pool hall, at a sports bar.
He's been in the lab. It means that I'm ready to mingle and be around people.
I'm starting to tingle.
But it's got to be a beautiful TV. And that San Francisco Athletic Club had a few of them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's on my list.
Okay.
Coming to the city for the lab.
Week, we've got the, along with the cheesesteak shop, we won't watch a game there, of course, but Bartlett Hall will now be on the map. Maybe we see something there we like. And Kezar is a little bit of a San Francisco tradition, or it's mainstay, hood, I should say.
It's in my hood.
Let's go to D. D's in San Francisco. What's up, D?
Hey, what's up, guys? I said, Guru, you're doing your job because you actually got me to call in. I find myself getting Andy Reid a lot of props because I know the knock on him is that he went to the 4 straight championships and lost all of them. But the one thing that But the one thing that nobody talks about is, like, you guys got to remember, his starting receivers is like James Drash, Todd Pinkston, and Freddie Mitchell. And by the time he actually got a legit receiver in T.O., he actually went to the Super Bowl that first year he got him. So I'm not going to sleep on Andy Reid. I'm going to give him his credit. I think he can pull some stuff up. But I'm going to say this game overall, I give it about a 6. I think the Niners will win it. But my concern level is at a 6. And it's only for the fact that they've been getting got by a lot of the mobile QBs. And Patrick Mahomes is just that different type of guy who, I mean, what, the guy could throw the ball 50 yards down the field across his body to the other side of the field and be pinpoint. So just little broken plays like that, knowing that he got nothing but track stars, is the only thing that I can see give them the advantage for. But the one thing I got to say is the Niners' biggest advantage, which could stop all that, is just their tackling ability, the ability to not give up the big plays. If they give up the big plays, they stop it right then and there, no yards after the catch. So that's why I'm like kind of 50-50 on this game, even though I'm like kind of on the side of Niners for the sense that their offense, I believe, overall can do more damage to the Kansas City defense than vice versa. That's it.
Great stuff, D. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you something because now the texts are coming in. So when Buck was on, I was kind of doing something else, housekeeping.
Preoccupied.
Yeah, so I didn't really hear when he said, what do you guys think? I didn't know what he was talking about. So basically he was saying he'd rather have Garoppolo over Mahomes.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
And I was like,
and Jimmy, we love you, dog. And because, come in here if you
I
can.
Like this. And because I didn't know what he said, I was like, I don't know. What do you guys think?
What if I told you it's happened to me a few times?
Well, bottom line is,
Bonte goes, what do you think?
It's happened to me too. Steiny just throws it to me out of nowhere. Steiny reacts to every call, and it was he doesn't react to. He throws it to me, and I'm over here like, I'm drafting a tweet. Steiny, leave me alone.
I saw a text that says, if you homers can't even admit Mahomes is a better quarterback than Garoppolo, then you quit. You should quit your day job. And I was like, did I say? I'm taking Mahomes over Garoppolo.
Yeah,
there
I
you
think
go.
We all are.
There you go.
Yeah. I think Garoppolo would take Mahomes over Garoppolo.
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably. How good that dude is.
Let's go to Rocco. Rocco's in Lafayette. What's up, Rocco? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. You know, I called the other day and I thought, you know, it was going to boil down to defense versus offense, 49ers defense. But I'm beginning to think that this game is going to be determined on, could be determined on a couple little things slash they're turned into big things, meaning things like a bad snap, a bad call, an offside, the wrong time. Little thing like that could determine this whole game because it's such a push on paper that this is. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I think that this matchup is probably extremely good for the game of football. you know, we've been waiting for something that's really exciting. And this is a good matchup. And I think the ratings are going to be off the charts, which I think is a good thing. So you tell me your thoughts on what I just said.
I'm with you. I think it could be a great game. Just because I don't think I know anything about what's going to happen. What can the 49ers keep Mahomes and that offense in check? Can the 49ers run on the Kansas City defense? Can the 49ers secondary stay with these, you know, speedsters?
Olympic track stars.
Yeah. Can Jimmy Garoppolo dice up Kansas City if he has to? So I think it's going to be a great, I hope it's a great game. I really hope it's a great game. Let's go to Dylan. Dylan's in Boston. What's up, Dylan? How you doing, man? Thanks for calling in. What do you got?
I'm doing good. So this guy, Bob Fesco in Kansas City last year before the AFC Championship game, was having everybody call 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Oh, so he's done this before.
Yeah, it's an old act, and he like started talking crap about New England, like, and saying New England can kiss our ass, and we'd be crying when the Patriots like lost to the Chiefs last year. So he does it all the time, and they listen to his show, and it's just not great.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for the insight. Appreciate it.
Dylan sounded upset.
Yeah, Shaka. Shaka's in Berkeley.
My guy.
Uh-oh.
Who ducked me at the Hilton Hotel a couple weeks ago.
Can we get the Vikings horn?
Ducked me, Shaka.
I had my son with me, man. I really wanted to come kick it with you, man. I had my son with me, and this is my first time going to that stadium. Second time because he had high school, the thing.
Graduation.
High school, he ready for the college.
SAT.
At the stadium. Okay. So, man, that story y'all told, man, when you said the dude that grew. Hard file somebody, and he said he had to send a message, man. You had me cracking up, man. He was, like, really serious. He almost dislocated the guy's leg.
Shaka. He almost started a brawl at a 3-on-3 tournament in South City.
Where did the foul occur? Like, on the arm?
He hacked him, like, around his shoulder. It was like he pulled him to the ground. It was dirty.
They would have replayed. They would have gone to review.
Oh, it would have been a flagrant two. It would have been a flagrant two, Shaka. No joke.
Shaka, I think you're playing hard, man.
Hey, Guru, you're a fool for that, man.
A flagrant two.
I'm listening.
Oh, no. Bonte said a flagrant two. I'm just getting a chuckle out of that. I ain't trying to hurt nobody.
Right. Hey, man, I think this is going to be the best Super Bowl ever, man, because you got offense against defense, man, and everybody's going to be watching. We couldn't have got the Titans in the Green Bay, so we really truly are blessed, man. Y'all have a safe weekend, man, and be cool, man.
Thanks, Shaka. Appreciate it.
Always good to hear from Shaka.
Because real quick, the underrated theme about this Super Bowl is like the Niners don't have an offense. They're not Trent Dilfer and the Ravens or Brett. The Niners can put up points, and that's why I keep saying, Bonte, you know, I'm just – if you ask me how I wanted it to play out, Garoppolo just goes ham. But people are underestimating the Niners' offense. And the Chiefs' D is not as good as the Niner. Oh.
Chiefs' D, too. But the Chiefs' D has been playing better. They're going to feel slighted. Frank Clark, Honey Badger, they're going to be, wait, what about us? What about us? So that side of the football.
It's the Honey Badger.
when KC does play defense, how can they slow down the 49ers to prevent them from running the ball or running their play action? That's going to be fascinating, man. But it goes back to yesterday. I don't want the ball in Mahomes' head with the chance to win the football game. I just don't, man.
But wouldn't that be the best, the last litmus test for the Niners D is to stop Mahomes with the Super Bowl on? Like, wouldn't that be, we here, we stop God?
In a way, I
what?
In a way.
You don't mind flipping. You don't mind saying what's really on your mind at that moment.
Oh my lord!
I don't lose my train of thought too often anymore. Only once or twice a show. I just did though. I forgot what I was going to say.
It's something. Hey,
what were you just saying?
If the Niners D stop Mahomes,
right. It's the last litmus test. It's the last litmus test.
Honestly, give me Jimmy Garoppolo having to go 75 yards on the Chiefs defense. Like, I get it. The defense is the kind of the signature of the Niners.
No doubt.
But give me either one of those, and that tells me it was probably a great game.
And last thing, Bonte, about this Chiefs defense, I keep going back, and you checked me. I got to give you credit. Oh, they were down 24-0 to Houston. There was a block punt. So special teams got a lot of those points.
And it wasn't the kickoff return.
Okay. See, it wasn't Kansas City's defense getting cash, and I keep forgetting that.
I guess Draymond Green was asked who he wants to win the game, and he said he wants the
Chiefs to win.
No disrespect to the Niners. See, it's not personal, but I guess he's
wants Frank Clark to win.
Wants Frank Clark to win a ring.
It's like, man, no respect.
What is that? What's wrong with that? That's realness. That's who he connects with. And our boss, Matt Nahegan, and everybody that went crazy with D-Lo with the Packer jersey. Good Lord. Steph had a Panther jersey years ago when they were in the Super Bowl here.
What's wild is Frank Clark went to Michigan and not Michigan State.
But he from his state.
He went to high school in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, they're friends. I don't know how he relates to it.
You want to talk about how great our production staff is.
They are.
Let's listen to Draymond Green and who he's going to root for.
I always want to see teams from the Bay do good. And so, you know, it's definitely good to see the Niners having the success that they're having. And see if they close it out. Obviously, for me, my brother's on Kansas City, Frank Clark, so definitely rooting for him to get a Super Bowl. No disrespect to the Niners. It's not personal or anything like that. But, you know, when you got somebody you're as close to as I am with Frank, I want to see him do well. So, I'm definitely pulling for him. Also would love to see the Niners win. You know, so doing that, you know, bringing the championship back to the game would be great. But, yeah, it's a little jaded, a little twisted for me because, you know, I want to see my brother do well.
Why are you a Steelers fan as opposed to a Lions fan?
I've always been a Steelers fan growing up. They were black and gold, and, like, the high school I always wanted to go to, which I ended up going to, was black and gold. So, like, that was a connection. And then Jerome Bettis, I love Jerome Bettis, the bus, and, you know, he's from the state of Michigan, and so I would always cheer for him.
All right. Draymond Green.
Draymond. I got no problem with that.
Hey, some advice for you, Dray. Don't let Angelo know you and Frank are good buddies. Because Frank was on that list.
Hey, Angelo, man. He did not like Andy Reid. 14 years of good Philadelphia Eagles football, and they can't stand Andy Reid.
Wow, man.
Unbelievable.
Let's go to.
You like that Rich Kotite drop on him?
That was nice.
You like that?
That was come nice. On, I'd almost crazy. Forgot about him. Ray Rhodes, too.
Rich Kotite.
Ray Rhodes.
You want him back, Angelo?
Coach P. is in Fremont. Coach P, talk to me. Says Frank Clark's from Bakersfield. Is that true? You know that? Coach P is.
I want to be caught dead in Bakersfield. No offense. I mean,
what?
Bakersfield, yeah, I mean, it's not a long Bakersfield. It just doesn't really spark my interest. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a unforgotten city. You know what I mean? It's like the Fresno. You know what I mean? In a way. But anyway, and no shots low. You know, shots to the morning show. But anyways,
well, that's Fresno.
What is Fresno?
Lowe's Fresno, not Bakersfield.
Well, technically Lowe is actually Lamar, but he reps the Fresno. It's kind of like
good knowledge.
Fremont. But if I'm on the Bay Area, I'm gonna say I live by Oakland. You know, blah blah.
Okay, gotcha.
South, you know, whatever. But anyways, back to the topic at hand: Mahomes or Jimmy G. Look, I don't understand why people always down talk Jimmy G. Yes, he's not doing spectacular things all over the place, all this and that. But what Mahomes has is already being on TV. Like you said, Vontae, the MVP, you know, he's got kind of the extra flair and all this and that. He's already got the celebrity status a little more than Jimmy G. So you're going to have a lot of America kind of rooting for him. If the Niners, if Jimmy G only throws a handful of times, the Niners win this game handily. But if it's a shootout, it's going to be very tough. But I really think it might come down to that. I think it's going to be a game where at the end, whoever has that ball might be the winner. I mean, I'm just kind of seeing it that way. You know, disgruntled Raider fan, of course, but with all that aside, I really think the Niners got this, and I see them celebrating. I don't know if it's going to be Market Street or Santa Clara in San Jose, whichever it is, maybe a whole trip around the Bay. And the Trayvon thing, I really think he just wants to bring I think it's a little bitter. He wants to bring it back to the Bay himself, you know, the Warriors and all that. But, you know, overall, it's going to be a great game. I mean, Tennessee and Niners would have handled them. by 30 points.
Here we go.
Green Bay, you know, all that. This is the match we all wanted. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Thanks, Coach P. Appreciate it. That's all.
Delay of game.
Coach P.
Do we find out what he coaches?
The thing about Coach P is he's a good
Coach
sport.
Coach P always tells me 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds with these guys.
That's how you
My
do
man
it.
Goes 190 seconds every time.
Delay of game.
Yeah, I should count him down a little bit sooner, and I will. Coming up next, Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er. And I guess he had the 49ers in the Super Bowl months and months and months ago. He'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Niner gang.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Joining us now, former 49ers defensive lineman Ian Williams, and you can hear Ian with us every Friday at noon. Ian, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm in Vegas. I'm having a good time. Chilling.
All right.
Living the life.
thanks for getting up early then to get on with us. Hey, you know, we were just talking about you had the 49ers going to the Super Bowl long before the season started. And I'm just going to assume that it's not just because you like the Niners. What did you see? What were you seeing that a lot of other people maybe weren't?
Now, before the season started, I didn't have them going to the Super Bowl. I didn't know what type of team it was going to be. I remember when I was doing the NBC preview show with Dante, and I said the team would go 8-8. And Dante was the only one that said the team would win 12 games. So
when did you say Super Bowl? I thought it was early.
I said Super Bowl in September. So late September, I said, you know, I feel like this is going to be a Super Bowl caliber team. I was like, I'll see you in Miami.
That's still pretty early. Okay, so
it was early, yeah. But you just don't go undefeated in the NFL. Those type of things just don't happen. You know, you either drop a game here, you drop a game there. I remember early in the Harbaugh era that we would have games where we would drop either to Dallas or Minnesota or Arizona. We would drop games here and there, but to go 8-0 and start the season like that, that's unheard of for a team to do that. So I knew already off the jump that they were going to be at least a playoff team. You know, they were a playoff team last year when they had Jimmy G. You know, once he got hurt, you know, they fell into, you know, being just the bottom of the pack team in the NFL. But once they got him back and they got some other guys in free agency and Nick Bosa through the draft, you know, and they started to, you know, put together some wins early in September and October, I knew like something was going to be up where they will be contending late in January and possibly playing in February in the Super Bowl.
Ian, help me out, because I've been telling the fellas all season that Kyle Shanahan, he's a creator, an innovator. It's happening. Now the world knows. And we looked at Mostert last weekend, 29 carries. And I don't know, and I need you to help me out. Is it the system, or is it Mostert, or is it a combo of both? Because I'm looking at Mostert like, why the hell hasn't he been getting the rock all the time? Or has Kyle just got this exotic offensive scheme to where anybody can run through him because the holes are so damn big?
Well, I think it's a combination of a scheme, Kyle Shanahan, and then also you have to have players to be able to go out there and execute what you're trying to do on the field. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have players that can execute what you're trying to call or be able to run a zone scheme and be able to see a gap and be able to hit it and then also have the speed to now be able to not only hit it but break a tackle and then be able to get to the second level and be able to, you know, take it all the way to the crib. You know, I used to watch Frank Gore all the time be able to hit a hole, but Frank never had that long speed like that. Raheem, Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, they all have that long speed. So once they hit that hole, they're gone. You're not catching them. But I think it's just a blend of all guys, all 11 guys on the field, you know, just blocking and determined to block. You know what I'm saying? I asked George Kittle after the game a couple weeks ago, like, because one thing George Kittle does, when he's blocking and he's at the point of attack, he's always cognizant of where the play is. If he's at front side, he's making sure that he's blocking the hell out of his man so that the play doesn't fall up on his leg. That's why a lot of guys get injured where they're blocking and guys fall in their legs because they're the front side, they're the point of attack. So, you know, he's always blocking. He tries to turn his hips, and he's actually watching the ball carrier run right past him as he's blocking and stuff like that. So you got guys that's determined. They don't care about catching the ball. They don't care about stats. They're not Stephon Diggs in the playoffs pouting on the sideline because they're not getting the ball and stuff like that. No, we're trying to win football games. At the end of the day, your stats don't count. When I get that ring on my finger and I get size, that's what counts. when we get that ring ceremony, you know, later on this year. That's what matters. It doesn't matter if you had eight catches for 120 yards in the first round of the divisional playoff. It doesn't matter. 10 years from now, people aren't going to care. They're going to care about that ring that you have in your finger. And I think all 11 guys, when Kyle Shanahan calls an outside zone run, they're blocking their ass off. They're running their ass off to the side and trying to open up some lanes for Raheem and these guys to be able to, you know, get through the end zone. And then multiple guys to step in. I mean, this is why you have multiple running backs. You don't just pay one running back all this type of money so that if one carry, he goes out there, he gets banged up. You've paid $15, $20 million to a guy who's not even going to be on the field. Now you have multiple guys back there who can step in. And this is why you have 3 to 4 running backs. Because now you're in the playoffs and you have multiple guys who are healthy who can carry a rock.
Great point, Ian. By the way, people want to know, Kyle Mattson, our producer, said people are calling in. They want to know what kind of shoe game you're going to have down there in South Beach, Miami. Answer that next. I just want to ask you real quickly about Patrick Mahomes. How do you keep him in the pocket? How do you fluster Patrick Mahomes? I know they got the horses up front, but how do you do it, Ian?
First of all, I don't know what shoes I'm going to wear yet. I don't even know what suit I'm going to wear yet. But I'm going to be fly. I'm going to be flash. I can tell you that.
That is for sure. Go. Facts only.
You call me Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry. All right. But, no. So, Pat, you know, he's the enigma because, like, what do you do? Do you get him outside of the pocket? Do you rush purposely to get him outside? Do you call certain stunts to be able to get him outside of the pocket? Well, if you do get him outside of the pocket, you've all seen the back arm throws, the off one leg, the awkward throws that he can make. And he can make it 50, 60 yards down the field. So do you want him outside of the pocket where he can kind of improvise and make some things happen? And now you have speed receivers and you have DBs trying to lock onto receivers. And speed's going to beat technique at any time. So you have that. So do you want to keep him in the pocket where he's a precision passer in the pocket? I think the main thing for the 49ers with Patrick Mahomes, it's not even going to be stopping him. I think we're going to do a good job getting to him and causing him pressure in the pocket. But the main thing is going to be able to run the ball. If you can run the football and keep him off the field, that's going to be the best way to slow down this offense. And now you're putting pressure on Andy Reid to have to force the ball down the field. And when you force the ball down the field, that's when you have picks. That's when you have interceptions. That's when you have incompletions. And you get behind the sticks. And now you're trying to force the issue. And now you're forced into more mistakes. So I think, you know, Raheem Mostert in our offensive line and George Kittle blocking his ass off is going to be the key to the 49ers winning on Super Bowl Sunday, because Patrick Mahomes, like, what do you do? I think he's going to get his. It could mess around and be another 49ers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.